Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The rose-colored glasses have fallen off. All rejoicing has now ceased. And the voice once crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," sits in darkness. He's in waiting, and he's questioning. It's a bit disconcerting that John asked such a raw and honest question. He's the very definition of a man. He's the Bear Grylls of his day, surviving in the wilderness, wearing clothing made from camel's hair, and eating locusts and wild honey. And we all know that real men don't ask questions, unless it's to trick a professor or puff oneself up. But today, John's not leaping for joy, and he's not subduing his opponents. Instead, he sits in darkness. He's weak. He's in doubt. For the man who once baptized the Christ and heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," now asks the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And despite all of John's experience, we have to acknowledge that John still asks the question. And it's understandable, really, because the hope he had proclaimed is non-existent. At least it seemed that way. For John was looking for the wrath that was to be revealed. Jesus was supposed to be the one to save the world. Jesus was supposed to pronounce judgment. He was supposed to take the axe to the tree and to give him hell. Jesus was supposed to be a real Messiah, a strong man, a leader, a warrior revolutionary, and he was supposed to set the prisoner free. But instead, today, John sits in the darkness of the prison cell. Herod was winning. And just because you are students of the scriptures, don't think that you are exempt from John's question. Because what we experience in our daily lives doesn't line up with what is proclaimed. We expect God to act against evil, sickness, and darkness. We expect him to protect us from sudden and evil death. And we expect Jesus to make all things new, to release the prisoner, to give peace to the suffering, to give life to the dying. But instead, our lives are barely held together. And you yourselves desire freedom. Freedom from the bonds of your own inadequacies and dark secrets. And yet day after day, you still struggle. And then you turn on the news and see a world that is crumbling around us. People are suffering, and everything seems hopeless. Yes, the message of Christ sounds great from a distance. But what happens when we come up close? What happens when we see a Messiah who is weak and humble? What happens when we see a Messiah who endures the beatings of the world? What happens when we see a Messiah who is crucified and mocked? And what happens when we see a church that is dying? A church that is fairly simple without any entertainment or screens. A church with just words and water, just bread and wine. Is that enough for Jesus to work? Day after day, you will meet the cross, and it's not a very pretty piece of art. It's gory, it's dirty, it's depressing. And so, it becomes easy to doubt. And with doubt comes the question, are you the one who is coming, or shall we look for another? And such doubt cannot be conquered in yourselves. You will never come to the conclusion that Jesus is the coming one. And you will ask the question, but you will need to know where to look for the answer. And today, John points you to that answer. And John lays everything out before Jesus' feet. He is decreasing that Christ might increase. And that's for you today, too. Don't be afraid to lay it all out before Jesus. Don't be afraid to have your prayers be raw and honest. Your prayers don't always have to be elegant and pious. There will be days where the only prayer you can muster is a sigh. There will be days when you will go before the altar with your face to the ground, asking God what you've gotten yourself into. And there are days where you will yell at God because of the brokenness you see around you. And that's okay, because God can handle your prayers. Sure, your questions may make you feel uncomfortable, because they will make you look weak. But in them, you are great, because in them you are becoming less so that Christ may become great. For these questions testify that doubt can only be overcome by looking at Jesus. He holds the answer to your questions. He holds the promises to your doubt. And that's where John points us today, in the midst of every one of your doubt and despair. But don't expect Jesus to give you a simple yes or no answer. Because in that hour and before the disciples' very own eyes, Jesus did many Messiah signs. He healed diseases and plagues. He cast out demons and gave sight to the blind. And Jesus sent John's disciples back with a message saying, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them." These healings were much more than just mere signs. They were proclaiming something deeper about Jesus himself. He had come to make all things new. He had come to forgive sin and to give life to a dying world. And in them, Jesus is doing the thing that God always does. He is taking care of you, his creation. But he's taking care of you in a way that you wouldn't expect. For Jesus cares in his weakness. For his victory is in defeat. His strength is in his cross. And that's the way Jesus cares for John. And that's the way he cares for you too. So lift up your heads. For Jesus does come to us in this Advent darkness, when everything seems to be crumbling around us. Lift up your face from the floor and look to the cross. Open what is written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come to this place to see and hear the signs Jesus performs in front of your very own eyes. Walk the road, see him work. See how he comes for you, how he washes you clean, how he feeds your mouths at this table. See how he has not abandoned you, his dear children. How he comes to give light to your darkness, hope in your despair, assurance in your doubt. Look at the cross. Because no matter how dark your lives may be, despite your despair and doubts, your Lord takes it all into himself. And he goes to the cross for your good, to set you free by his blood, to make all things new, and to give you life. For in his flesh and blood, Jesus has done away with all sadness. He gives you the great joy beyond all gladness. And he now opens your lips. You are no longer silent, and your voice now cries out, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.